listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Okay, everybody, hey, thanks for coming, and welcome to the review of For Mad Men Only. Okay, now, from the audience, can we please get a topic?
Wham!
Improv!
I heard improv. Let's get together a team. Are you ready? All right, let's do this.
I thought we're supposed to say, like, yes and.
Not yet. That doesn't come until later.
Damn it!
Do something first.
Oh, okay.
I know. Improv is very confusing if you've never actually done improv, which I have not. You think I would have with all the other stuff and my deep love of comedy and even acting for a long time, but I never actually did improv. Half the people I know have, including at least one of the people who's here with us today.
Let's be fair, Chris. You're making this shit up as you go anyway, so it kind of counts.
That's true. It is improv of a sort. My fellow improvers on this review are Marco.
I will, in fact, be playing myself this evening.
Mindy.
I am debating whether or not to play myself. You know, it's give or take which way I'm going to go in.
And Drew.
It's harder for me to play myself when I'm not in front of an audience. I will say that.
It's a little known fact that I act taller than I appear.
Anyway, this is For Mad Men Only. This is the story of comedic legend that most people who aren't comedians have never heard of, Del Close. Unless you've watched any other documentary ever made about the history of American comedy, and then there was at least 15 minutes on Del Close in there, because he is one of those iconic figures to comedians for the very simple reason of he pretty much trained all of them. The ones he didn't were just because they came up after he had already passed away, and I think it was 1996, but the people who trained them were trained by Del Close. Like, pretty much the entirety of SCTV and Saturday Night Live and Upright Citizens Brigade and any number of other groups all under his tutelage. And the reason is because the man more or less invented modern improv, or as he called it, Harold.
The Harold.
Which is a funny story in and of itself, where he's like first going, I think this is really exciting. I think we're onto something here. We should call it something. And someone's like, I think Harold's a nice name.
Oh, he died on my birthday in 99.
You did it. It was you, Mindy.
Yes! I yes-stand him to death.
So this is directed by Heather Ross, who's mainly worked on television. A who's who of famous people appear in this film, either in new interviews or this treasure trove of like when they were super young interview tapes with people like Amy Poehler. It's not done in a straight just talking head style, which is nice, because just recently I reviewed another doc that was that. And I was like, come on, man, you got to get a style of your own. You got to have your own interstitials.
It's improv. I mean, there's no way they would do a documentary justice about the dude who created Yes And. It just goes all over the place.
They try all sorts of different things, like animations and funny bits, to sort of stitch all the pieces together here, including really focusing a lot on something I had heard of the book, but did not actually realize that the comic book for DC Wasteland that was co-written by comics legend John Ostrander was Del Close writing his autobiographical story. Reportedly, the documentary plays a lot with it being more actual accurate than and more autobiographical than it apparently actually was. It was more like, well, this is sort of like what happened. But the documentary also makes a big point of saying, by the end, it became clear that a lot of the stories Del told his whole life were not actually true. But they were a good story.
I am shocked that a man famous for improvising would make something up.
It's crazy talk.
You know, I did kind of feel, though, that this documentary's attempts to be funny on its own, a little iffy.
There's really not a lot of comedy here, and that may seem odd. But consider what this is. This isn't a comedy film. It is the story of a man who, apart from being very brilliant, very funny himself, a talented writer and teacher, one of the things that really stands out is that as many people who come on mic to talk about how much they love this guy almost all of them acknowledge what a difficult person he was. And not only was this guy frequently dealing with issues of substance abuse, mental health issues, a difficult childhood, you get the feeling that as inspiring as he was, he probably was not always a barrel of laughs to be around.
I mean, that's kind of goes with the territory for so many artistic people. And that is actually something that they bring up. It's like, this is the place where the misfits and the outcasts were able to find a community. So, of course, they're not gonna be put together, any of them. And he was the leader of the pack, certainly.
Until they got sick of him and kicked him out.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's interesting to see how the people that ended up kind of being influenced by him and then became famous kind of took what he did. And I guess, I don't know if they were opportunists necessarily, but they at least had it together enough to put something together. Like I was really interested in the Nichols and May aspect to that, where they kind of took the ideas that he was running with and then made it incredibly more digestible, you know, to a mass audience, which is kind of the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do. I think somebody like Del Close, like he was a chaotic figure. It's okay that he wasn't successful too. I think it's actually more legendary that he wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the heart of this thing, is the sadness around who this guy was, who was such an innovator, who changed the face of comedy, who hundreds of very, very famous and successful people became that way because of what they learned from him. And yet that fame always eluded him right from the get-go, just the things that to him felt like real betrayals. And in some case, were definitely actual betrayals, like in the case of Elaine May and Mike Nichols. Mike Nichols basically completely fucked him over for his own success and to steal Elaine May away from him, according to Del Close, which once again, like with many things,
right,
grain of salt, maybe. I mean, this is the man who claims that he gave L. Ron Hubbard the idea for Scientology. So,
well, that was the whole idea, because when I was watching the documentary, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Like, they supposedly made a bet together, L. Ron Hubbard and Del Close, like, let's both start our own religion. And then he went off and did Scientology.
But I've always heard that nobody really knows if that was real or not. It's like sort of falls under urban legend, maybe.
It's a really good story, and everybody involved is conveniently dead. Which is also what this movie is partially about. There's this great moment. They bring in Bob Odenkirk, who talks about how when he was a young man, he wanted to join Second City, which is this sort of legendary nightclub, comedy school, still in existence, created a lot of famous people, and it's where...
If you're into comedy, you know this club.
Exactly. This is nothing new for comedy aficionados, but as a young man, he wanted to go because it was already legendary, and so he goes on the pretext that he's there to do an article for his school paper, but he really just wants to find out what the deal is and whether or not he could hack it. He interviews Del Close. He interviews other members of the staff. They give him the sort of great legendary story of like, oh, all these wonderful people who came here. And he's like, no, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear they all sucked. I wanted to hear they were terrible. I wanted to hear that, you know, they came here, they were awful, but after a lot of work and practice, they got good. And I too could be that good one day. And that's where the realities of the Herald in its early stages come out. A lot of people talk about it. The Del Close's earliest model was kind of sloppy. It was kind of loose and unstructured. And while, yes, you occasionally had someone like a Bill Murray or Gilda Radner who could knock it out of the park, for most people, it was just a horrible slog of people just trying to be funny and not succeeding, so much so that even the Second City owners were like, we'll let you teach the class, but we're not going to charge people to come see this shit. And it's really the history of the Herald as it developed over time.
I mean, right off the bat, he and Elaine May developed the basics of it, like the rules of it, but it was unfinished. And then later came back to it again, and it still was developed but unfinished. And eventually he kind of went, okay, this is clearly going to be my thing that I'm remembered for. So let's really knock this the fuck out and get every detail down. And that is modern improv. There's no one else you can credit really as having been the developer of modern improv but this guy. And I know that for those like my friend Martin, who really hates improv, he doesn't care. But there's no denying the impact here with, like we said, this huge list of people that were like directly say, yeah, I mean, I can't say I like spending time with Del, but he taught me everything I know.
And people don't realize, yes, absolutely, this affects comedy. And when people think of improv, they do tend to think of comedy. But improv really affects acting as a whole, because it means you're more spontaneous. It means you're more reactive. Thor Ragnarok, people love that movie. It was majority improv. There are greatest hits of like best scenes in movies. And it's like, this was actually made up on the spot. This is an undercurrent of like all of our entertainment. It's not just like these comedians who did this thing. It's like, you got to understand the impact encompasses everything.
And who they really get here to address that is director Adam McKay, who of course has worked with a lot of other major directors before he became a director in his own right, who work a lot with, well, let's just improv this scene for an hour until we get the shot that we want, which is interesting. But there's a lot of people who, like you said, Bob Odenkirk talks a lot in here. Tim Meadows has a lot to say. James Urbaniak actually plays Del Close in a series of interstitials throughout where they're like, we have a recording of this that's kind of crappy, but it's kind of more fun to have actors come in and play these roles. And there's a number of people who show up. My favorite being Patton Oswalt.
Yes, sort I was about
of,
to say.
Like his version of the guy he can't stand as an evil cowboy.
You'd think that actually Judd Apatow would have popped in here too, because he's kind of been known for that kind of improv comedy, even to some criticism, I think. But you know, even talking about Odenkirk, I thought it was cool that showing the actual audio of him interviewing Del Close, it reminded me of all the interviews that Judd Apatow did early in his high school years. I think, you know, interviewing Seinfeld and all these people. And Del Close is really, he feels like the San Francisco comedy to me. And just after moving from San Francisco, I realized even more how legendary that whole scene was. And he's still that this product of the late 60s and everything that was going on there, where we're going to change the world and we're going to do it on stage. And it didn't necessarily work out that way. But it was still like inspiring. But I'm sure if you hate improv and you look at some of the early footage of that when it was happening during kind of the more like hippie years, it must have been maddening to watch that crap, you know.
Well, any art form in its formative stages is, you know, a little maddening if it's not your whole life, I guess.
And at times it does come dangerously close to something like therapy. And you do get a sense that Del Close is working out some of his personal demons.
I mean, not even a sense.
And not everybody is on board with this. And again, they bring in Dave Thomas of SCTV, who's like, you know, he's asking us to do some stuff. And me and Martin Short are like, no, we're not going to improvise a scene around the suicide of your father. It's inappropriate and it's not even funny.
He was talking about Del Close's personal philosophy about wanting to get gasps and having that be the same as laughter. The dichotomy of that is like getting a reaction is good regardless of what that response is. And it's just like, there is me who is the theatrical person. An examination of that is actually really interesting. It's like, what is a quote unquote appropriate response to art? They were even, you know, at its core being like, no, this is not appropriate. A gasp is not a laugh. And he's like, well, yes, it is. And therefore it evokes the human condition and all that. It's like, it's a really interesting sort of nugget of philosophical debate if you really think about it.
If the sign on the door says comedy club, your reaction should probably be laughter. Because that's what you're charging people for.
If it says 2 drink minimum, you know, then it's not therapy.
Yeah, but then it goes to, it's not therapy. And then also, but you know, the type of person that Close was is like, as you said, he wanted to get on stage and change the world. And if the only place you have is a comedy club, that's where he's going to do it. Is that appropriate? Probably not. But as an artist actor type, I understand the drive.
Comedy is tragedy plus time. But there's plenty of comedians as well who have used their own personal tragedies as a way, and comedy in and of itself as a way to tell stories. I mean, just recently we got much celebrated Bo Burnham's Inside, which is a desperate cry for help in the form of a comedy special. But it's brilliant. It's groundbreaking and certainly far from the first person to do it. But let's go to final thoughts. Mindy.
Here we have this documentary about the creation of theater and improv and seeing performance art as a way to examine the human condition as well as through the medium of comic books. So, of course, I didn't relate to this at all. Yeah, this pretty much the topic was my wheelhouse in every single sense of the word. I wish that they would have gone into more explanation as to what the meaning of the comics was, as opposed to just having it be a storytelling device, because it's like DC comes to you to make a comic book about your life. That's not something that just happens. And they didn't really delve into why DC did that. And so like, that was one thing that I was like, wish they could have expanded on. And as much as I absolutely love the discussion of the subject matter, I do think it was kind of like an improv show in that some of it worked and some of it didn't. I think they threw a lot into the way that it was told, and some of it stuck, some of it didn't stink so well. And I think it was just because they had so many different modes. They had the comic, they had the scenes, they had the straight documentary, they had the talking heads. And it's just like, sometimes it fit together, sometimes it didn't. But all in all, it was incredibly interesting topic, and I do appreciate the fact that they did try so many different ways of storytelling in order to tell it. I'm gonna give it 8 out of 5 tickets to Mischief Movie Night In, which is my favorite improv troupe at the moment, and I desperately am gonna see their long-form shows that are going on right now. God damn it.
8 out of 5?
8 out of 10. See? Whatever, my brain is many different directions.
I was told there would be no math.
Right, I love the way you just improv mathematics. That was amazing.
Exactly! Yes, and.
Drew.
This really is kind of like Zen in the art of improvisation or something. You know, there's something profound about it. I just can't really put my finger on it. And I don't know if Del Close ever really could either, but that kind of made him special, I think. I would definitely give it 3 out of 5 stars that ended up being famous because they fucked over Del Close. I love the kind of comic book sensibility of the documentary. And it almost feels like Wasteland, I guess, was going to be maybe his version of Transmetropolitan, or like he wanted to be kind of that subversive guy, you know, or Harry Crumb or those kind of guys. Also, I think one of my favorite parts of it was the cameo, actually, of him being in The Blob in 1988, which I had completely forgotten about, and that's an incredibly underrated remake.
Marco?
To answer what Mindy was asking earlier, I believe that it was a horror anthology comic, probably informed by Del Close's own personal demons and his various thoughts about life. But again, undeniably weird stuff and too weird to last for very long. One of the highlights of the movie for me is a sequence where, based on a recording, he calls DC Comics and a receptionist and an executive just kind of put him on hold and talk amongst themselves while he just keeps babbling on and on. In moments like that, the documentary really came to life for me. It's always a bit of a tightrope to have people do reenactments, but in this case, I think they really worked, even more than some of the other interstitial material. What we have here is really good. I think if you're a aficionado of improv, you already know a lot of the beats of this story. I think it's a good introduction to Del Close. But by the end, I never felt like I really quite got to know the man, and that might in fact be the point. The man might be unknowable. As we find out towards the end, he was not always the most reliable narrator of his own life. But if you are a lover of improv or just curious what the big deal about Del Close was and just how deep his impact is, I mean, you can play the comedy edition of 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon would just involve Del Close.
Close to Del Close.
How close are you to Del Close? And probably if you met the real Del Close, you'd probably think that was way too close. He probably made people uncomfortable. And just looking at Del Close, listening to him, hearing about him, all I could think of is, I have met people in my life who are brilliant, who are talented, who are innovative, exciting, but they're also very unpleasant to be around many times. Great to learn more about the man without actually having to be in a room with him yelling at me. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 strange little flashlights taped to my head.
It's hard to do a story about a guy like Del Close. I mean, he's basically the Philip K. Dick of comedy in many ways. Like, it's not very clear with a guy who was as neurodivergent, severely neurodivergent as he was, who he actually was. Much like Dick constantly told lies about his life or grand exaggerations, they both took lots and lots of psychedelic drugs, which couldn't have made things any better. And neither one of them got real success until very late in their life. But afterwards, were very much the people who are looked back at as like, well, this is where all the rest of that came from. 3/4 of the science fiction that exists today is because of Philip K. Dick, or evolved in some way out of the things he brought from it. And the same is true of comedy. And I think this is about as uneven a film as he was, which may have been intentional, But it does make for points a little bit dry watching. I thought they really put way too much emphasis on his comic book here. They spent too much time with it. I was like, okay, but you're not really telling us anything about it. You just keep coming back to it. I thought some of the interstitial bits, especially with the actors, like there were a few that were funny, but most of them were like, I don't know. This felt like it needed some more work before it was finished. But there's no question that if you want to know about Del Close, this is one of the best ways to find out. There was another documentary I saw a few years back called Thank You, Del, which played South By, about the annual tribute that the Upright Citizens Brigade does for him. And we actually got to do interviews with some of the people who were there for it, like pretty famous comedians. So that was really fun. And I'll be honest, I kind of preferred that for if no other reason that that was really funny. This is not. It's not really funny at all. It's only supposed to be in moments, but it is kind of adorable. I'm going to give, for Mad Men Only, 7 tall, cool glasses of battery acid.
Aww. Mm. Gotta take it to a dark place.
I prefer diet battery acid myself. Mm. You know, once you get used to it, it's like you can't really go back. Regular battery acid's just too sweet.
So that's what they put in Jolt Cola.